Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine on till tomorrow. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom. Let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter. who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week we do Journey with Mary to somewhere in the world where she has made an appearance. That's right, the Virgin Mary has been appearing all over the world. And this wasn't something I knew about until about 12 years ago. And I was shocked because I've spent a whole career in psychiatric mental health and all those kinds of problems people have. Never knew about this and thought, well, this is a new kind of issue. But once I got to studying it, I realized, along with other professionals, that there's nothing dysfunctional or crazy about this. Even though it sounds like hallucinations and delusions, there is not one ounce of that involved. It is all very real, very supernatural, scientifically investigated and well documented over some 2,000 years, starting in 40 AD, going up to the present day. Yeah, now if you hadn't heard this before, that should have gotten your interest. So what we do on this show is try to bring you the best information from different stories. And there's close to 2,700 documented. Now, not all of them are approved by the church or fully investigated because some just wasn't enough information. But I have studied 101. I know that doesn't sound like many out of 2,000, almost 700. But it's some of the best ones and the most detailed and documented and the best evidence. So trust me, most Catholics can name maybe 4, 5, 6, maybe they can list 6 apparitions they can name, but 101. So it's a lot compared to everyone else, but it's not much in the whole picture. So anyway, what we try to do on this show is bring the best information to you, tell you things you hadn't heard about before, and give you the best information on each account as we do it every week. Sometimes it takes several weeks to go through a certain account because there may be just that much to talk about. So it's been an interesting journey with Mary, indeed, and we've learned a lot. The science is there, the patterns of how she operates are there, and the messages are there. And miracles and predictions and warnings and all sorts of things are there. And I've yet to see one prediction not come true. So that's the test, they say, of a true prophet, is if they're right, if what they say comes true. And every single thing, little or large, that she has predicted has come true. So it's very interesting to study, and we're so glad we can have the chance to bring it to you. And we have a research team on board as well. Now, my co-host, Donald Hartley, his voice is still recovering from a procedure he had. So it's a little hard for him to talk when he's not supposed to strain his voice. So he's listening in, and he's with us, but he's not going to say anything to probably doctor's orders not to, you know, push his voice and let it rest. And we know he would want to talk, so we're not letting him talk, but he would want to, that's for sure. And coming to us from New Jersey is Mike, who got his little problem temporarily fixed, so we can hear him tonight. How are you, Mike?
Well, I'm doing fantastic.
Sound great. Glad you got plugged in better this week and got literally a patch on it.
So. Yeah, well, we're upgrading the patch, so we may sound even better than this.
All right, that'll be great. You sound good tonight. And from the great city of Bourbon, Missouri, my home state, and just a few hours away from me is Kathy. And glad to have you back, Kathy. Howdy, howdy.
Hi, glad to be here.
Are things good? Good. Anything new going on in your neck of the woods?
It's starting to get warm, put in the garden and that sort of thing, and been working on my computer a lot, and I'm probably set it on fire here in a minute.
I think there's more to that story.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, we also have Doc. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, just I had to use a whole new system, and getting it set up is just driving me crazy. It just won't do anything like it's supposed to.
Oh, that's hard. That is.
Mm-hmm.
Needs like a whole week to probably figure that out.
It's been 2 weeks.
Computers are supposed to help us, remember?
they're so dumb. They're supposed to be so smart, and they're so dumb.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, we also have, coming in from Tennessee, we have Docs with us, and I'm pulling him on right now. How are you doing, Doc?
I'm doing okay. I hate computers, too. I like to consider myself a living computer virus. And there is a story behind that, but we won't go into that right now.
Well, we can understand that. Kathy's on board with that. Mike's had his technical problems, so we can all relate. So glad to have y'all with us. And we are going to Genoa, Italy tonight. It is the year 1490, and she is known as Our Lady of the Guard in this particular incident. Genoa, Italy, 1490. So just north of Genoa, Italy, is a tall mountain named Mount Fignoga. I don't know if I say that right. Fignoga. Fignoga, probably like Bologna, but Fignoga. Numerous church buildings exist on top of this mountain, whose history involves a peasant named Benedict Pareto. On August 29th, 1490, Benedict was grazing his flock on the mountain when his attention was drawn to a brilliant movement of light. Within this heavenly glow was the image of a woman holding a child on her arm. Although he did not know who she was, he felt compelled to kneel as she approached him. Standing before him, the, quote, beautiful lady, unquote, assured him with these words. Now I have to stop right there, because how many times have we heard a bright light, a lady holding a child on her arm, and compelling to kneel and calling the lady most beautiful lady? We hear that so often. It's amazing. So we go to what she said, and she said, "Do not be afraid. I am the Queen of Heaven and have come to you with my divine son for this reason. You are to arrange for a church to be built on this spot to be dedicated in my name," unquote. Well, there we go. Once again, the words "do not be afraid" appear 365 times in the Bible, a very heavenly phrase. And again, as in so many of these apparitions, she wants a church built on that spot. So see, it just doesn't matter what year, what decade, what century, what place in the world, very consistent pattern of the way she operates. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that it fits the bill. I mean, it fits the pattern.
Sure does.
Now,
sure does. In fact, I think I did some statistics on it one time, and it was like 75% of all apparitions she requested a church. And the rest of them, it's like she didn't even have to ask. They wanted to build one anyway. So I think in almost every apparition, some shrine or church got built, whether she asked for it or not.
Right.
But think about
well,
75%
how many?
Time.
75%?
Huh?
75%?
Yeah, about 75%. Yeah. And, you know, we often forget with Fatima and Guadalupe that was her one of her main goals. She wanted a church built. It gets lost in Fatima because of all the other messages, but it was clearly in there that she wanted a church built on that spot, and it was, of course. And in Guadalupe, she wanted a church built, but it kind of gets lost in all the focusing on the tilma and the image. But the whole reason that had to be presented was because the bishop wasn't going to build a church until he had proof it was really the Virgin Mary. So it kind of gets lost in there, but she's always asking for a church to be built. All right, so poor Benedict protested that he had no money with which to build a church. We heard that last week. No money with which to build a church. But the lady calmed his confusion with these words, quote, and we heard this last week as well, "Trust me, Benedict, the money will not be lacking. Only your goodwill is needed. With my aid, all will be easy," unquote. That's another thing she has said in our show last week and also in other apparitions, that don't worry about the money, just start working on it, and things will happen. Things will happen. And they always do. Well, then Benedict watched as the apparition slowly. Yes.
John, this is similar to where we were last week, but if you recall, where we were last week is Mary's instructions, or quoted instructions, where you build the church or the epidemic will continue. In other words, the epidemic was now a consequence of not building a church. What she said, "Trust me, Benedict, the money will not be lacking. Only your goodwill is needed. With my aid, all will be easy." There was nothing anywhere even remotely suggesting that last week. It was you build the church or the disease continues. It was more of a threat than anything else.
Bribe or whatever, it certainly did sound like that. Well, we've got something in this one, too, tonight. We'll see in a minute.
Okay.
A little different, but similar in ways. Heaven has a way of trying to get things done, that's for sure.
John?
May sound a little crude at times or rude, but it's all for the good. Yes?
Let me ask you one question. In a number of the places we visited and studied Mary's apparitions, there are messages, commands, etc., that quote her. And I'm wondering, how do you verify that she actually said this? How is that verified? I mean, you can't pick up the phone and call heaven and ask them. I'll give you an example of why this is important, because down in Texas a few years ago there was a campaign for governor between Clayton Williams, an oil man who was very much loved, and Ann Richards, who was the incumbent. And it came out in the news within 2 weeks of the election that a woman had been brutally raped. And Williams was asked for his reaction. He was quoted as saying, "I hope she enjoyed it." Well, his campaign, which was almost a guaranteed victory, went down in flames. It's very important we quote people accurately. It's just an illustration. But how do we authenticate that this is what she actually said? I wouldn't want to be found guilty of misquoting Our Lady, but how do they do that?
Well, I don't know if they can. I mean, they have to take the person for how they remember it. And then the problem we have in our understanding of it has to be translated from Italian or Bosnian or Venezuelan or Philippine, or Korean. So by the time we get it translated, it may have lost some of the proper words or the meaning or inflection or whatever you want to call it. So it's always been a little bit of a problem to get it exact. But
there's
there's
also idioms in the English language that don't translate. There's an old saying, it loses something in the translation.
Right, exactly. But still, you must admit, given all of those possibilities, that the messages are still amazingly alike and reflect the same kind of requests and wording that we've heard from story to story. So even with all those things that can get in the way, it's amazing how similar the wording still is. So probably one of the best ways to prove it's the real thing is that it repeats from story to story in similar fashion, even if one or two words are out of place.
I think a lot of it has to do with just comes right down to faith.
I agree.
If you, because there's going to be conflicting stories. I've heard conflicting stories on pretty much every apparition we've talked about. And this person did this and this person did that. And so how do we know it's real? Well, it comes down to, do you believe it's real? Do you believe that heaven is trying to reach out to us to turn us from our ways? You know, I'm rereading the Bible and I'm going through Genesis and when Sodom and Gomorrah, hey, if there's 50 good guys, will you spare it? Well, it got down to 5, and I truly believe that the faith of the people praying the rosary, the people that are here, are the only thing that's keeping this country from being pummeled. Yeah, I truly believe that.
Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry about that. But to answer the question, yes, things get lost in the translation, but the similarities are very, very consistent.
Right.
So one or two words may have been mistranslated. We're still getting the gist of what's being said. Granted, I would love to, be able to record Mary's message and play it right from her mouth to the world. That would be great, but, we don't have that technology yet, and I doubt we ever will.
See, Mike would probably be happier if we could pull her into court and have the judge, of course, have her swear in on a Bible and then say, is this exactly what you said?
That would
we
be nice.
We want to get the record straight.
Actually, if you were to be able to record her voice and play it back, that's called in the news business. That's called an actuality. But
that would be sweet.
That would be, and then people would still question whether that's really her voice or not.
Yeah.
Now, to get too far off track here, but we did have in Ecuador, Cuenca, Ecuador, where the visionary Patricia actually spoke. Mary was speaking through her. It wasn't her words, and it wasn't, it was a little different sounding voice, but they recorded it and then, of course, transmitted to paper, but it was Mary's voice using the girl's body. So that was as close as we got to the actual, Mary being recorded.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
That's cool.
Added
a little bit of credibility to that if what that girl said was in a language she had no way of knowing.
Well, the thing is, she did not know a lot of the words, and she did not remember even saying it. She was like, out.
Oh, I know.
Like, man, yeah. And when they played it
back.
But
think about that.
That's what I said. She didn't even
remember. If I all of a sudden started speaking Sumerian for some reason, never been to Samaria, don't know where it is, don't know the first word in Samaria, plus like an ancient dialect that hasn't been around for 1,000 years, that would get people's attention, I think. I would hope.
That's one of those four things that they look at when you might be possessed by a demon, is unknown languages.
Right.
Or,
you got to look at what you're saying.
Or we We have medicine for that, too.
Well, one reason Mary asked us to build churches to bring her son to the people. And another thing is a lot of the seers have said that they don't remember this or they don't remember that, but they will say, I remember exactly what she told me pertaining to that.
Yeah.
So I think, like, heaven has a way of making sure if they want a message given, that it's given.
Yeah. My experience with the visionaries and all the readings, they remember stuff extremely well. It's like really imprinted on their brains. It's really amazing how much they do remember and remember very precisely.
You, there's one set of words that you will never hear said about an apparition. A spokesman for the Blessed Mother said, da-da-da-da-da.
That would be cool.
All right, going on with our story. Benedict watched as the apparition slowly faded. After he recovered from the sweetness and beauty of this apparition, he felt a great urgency to tell others. He ran back down the hill toward his house and met his wife on the way. But she mocked him, disbelieving, and said he must be suffering from sunstroke. He continued running excitedly down the mountain path to tell the parish priest. The priest and Benedict's neighbors were all skeptical, too, upon hearing his story. Well, the following day, Benedict climbed a fig tree to pick fruit, but the branch to which he was clinging snapped off and he fell. Friends carried him home, where it was learned that he had broken a number of bones and suffered severe internal injuries. Due to his serious condition, he was given the last sacraments of last rites by the priest. Now he feared that he would be unable to spread Our Lady's request to the proper individuals. Grieving these circumstances, he promised that if the Blessed Virgin would help save his life, he would make certain that the church would be built. Blessed Mary appeared to him again and repeated her request for a church to be built at the place of her first appearance on the mountain. She scolded him for his lack of faith and indicated that his fall from the tree was punishment for allowing his wife to persuade him that his vision had only been an illusion. Our Lady stretched out her hand towards him and then vanished. When she left, he was instantly cured. When his neighbors, who knew the severity of his injuries, observed his immediate cure, they replaced their doubts and skepticism with wholehearted belief. With approval from the priest, they began collecting money for the building of a small chapel on Mount Figona. The church became popular so quickly that it had to be extended, and by 1530, just 40 years later, it needed to be completely replaced by a bigger church. In 1582, the shrine was visited by the Bishop of Novara, who gave his approval for the apparitions, commended the people for their piety, and especially praised the high altar and the image of the Blessed Virgin carved on it. In 1604, a commission of inquiry into the apparitions was opened by the Archbishop of Genoa. The shrine was again authenticated and given the name Madonna della Guardia, Our Lady of the Guard Post. The Confraternity of Our Lady of the Rosary was established there in 1598. And in 1614, a Company of the Glorious Virgin of Carmel was founded. Now, of all the miracles attributed to Our Lady of the Guard, the most famous is that which took place in 1625. Charles Emmanuel, Duke of Savoy, marched on Genoa with an army of 14,000 men. Knowing that they were greatly outnumbered, a saintly Capuchin lay brother, Fra Tommaso de Trebbiano, urged the people to pray to Our Lady of the Guard for protection. The next day, when Charles's huge army of 14,000 marched confidently towards the city, it was repulsed by a few hundred poorly armed local peasants who had been sent into battle with religious fervor and the blessing of their priest. It was definitely seen as a miracle. Okay, guys, 14,000 trained soldiers against 100 or so unarmed peasants. That is a miracle.
Sounds like the American Revolution.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But,
and, you know, the funny thing about the American Revolution, a lot of it was fought with religious favor or you know, flair.
Fervor.
Yeah.
Fervor, that's the word I'm talking about. One thing I want to point out, many of y'all may or may not know, but I'll tell you straight up, a fall like that and then that kind of recovery will get your attention.
Yep.
I mean, you know, speaking personally, you know, I fell almost a year ago today, or almost a year ago, it'll be June 30th, it'll be a year, I fell and broke my back in four places. Twisted my spine, messed up my shoulder, you know, but I can wiggle my toes. And I got to tell you, the facts behind that is a straight up miracle because I should have been broken in a half. So, yeah, that definitely will get your attention. There ain't no doubt about that.
Especially in that day and age, too.
No kidding.
I mean, yeah, back in those days, there's no way they would have had the surgical procedures or equipment or anything to help.
Oh,
them.
No, man. They didn't even have canned oxygen back then.
Yeah, probably would have died just like they were saying.
Yeah.
But he promised her a church. So that's a good thing to remember, folks. If you're on death's doorstep, ask the Blessed Virgin that you'll help build a church. It might save your life. And I'm not saying that to be funny.
You better keep your promise. You better keep your promise.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we have an apparition where someone promised and then didn't do it, and she came back later.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, well, just in this case here, she said, go build a church, and his wife said, you're drunk or something. You got a heat stroke. Okay, honey, I won't do it. And what happened? Yeah, you don't keep your promise. There's consequences.
Yep. So like Mike, we were saying earlier, there was a little bit of a twist in there, a little bit of a, yeah, I'll save your life if you do this for me. Otherwise, you're going to die. So very similar. And of course, we don't know the word punishment was used, but maybe that was in translation. Maybe it was consequence or something like that could have been the word. So we don't know, again, exactly the correct wording. But in any case, she said, yeah, I'll help you if you can get that church done. And, oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll remember that if I'm ever on my deathbed. I'll say, Blessed Mary, I will promise you I'll build you a church wherever you want it. Just help me. It's not a bad offer, you know, assuming
right.
that you really will make the effort.
John?
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't called Let's Make a Temple, is it?
You bet your life.
That's a totally different show.
That was a different show, but it fits, doesn't it? Okay, now back to the story. In gratitude, the people erected a bell tower at the shrine. On the Feast of the Assumption in 1632, a marble statue of the Blessed Virgin was set up over the high altar in the chapel that marked the location of the first apparition. In 1654, this became the first Marian shrine to institute the ritual of the solemn coronation of Our Lady, a joyful celebration in which thousands of pilgrims climbed to the top of Mount Figlono, sang and prayed as the crown was placed on the head of the marble statue. Now, many miraculous cures were also associated with Our Lady of the Guard and have been officially authenticated. For example, in 1727, Father Giuseppe Maria Sabelli was dying of tuberculosis. He was half paralyzed and highly feverish when he heard Our Lady call out to him with these words, "Come to me at Della Guardia and I will restore you." On June 26, 1727, on the feast of St. Anne, his friends carried him up the mountain and laid him in the church to receive the Blessed Sacrament. As he lay there, he heard a melodious voice call to him, "Stand up. I am the physician who has healed you. Let everyone know you are well again." So that was Jesus. Father Giuseppe stood up, and everyone saw that he was completely cured. Wow. Right there, right in front of their eyes. That was great.
Proof once again that Dr. Jesus makes house calls. Or in this case, well, church calls.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, good place to have the sacrament in the church, and then all of a sudden you're cured. A second statue is found. Go ahead.
What year was that?
Hold on a second. Let me back up. Let's see. That was 1727. July 26, 1727, on the Feast of St. Anne. Now, a second statue is found on the wayside chapel of St. Pantaleon on the mountainside. A third and wooden statue is found in the church on Mount Figlono. In 1894, Pope Leo XIII commanded that a formal coronation of that statue take place. The Basilica of Della Guardia was built in 1923. That's the Basilica in 1923. The greatest day in its calendar is August 29th, when there are colorful celebrations and torch-lit processions at night to commemorate Benedict Pareto's original encounter. The walls of the church are inlaid with marble, with a perpetually lit crowned marble statue of Mary in its niche near the high altar. Six popes, from Clement the 16th to Benedict the 16th, have honored the shrine in various ways. There we go. So that's the story of Our Lady of the Guard, and from Genoa, Italy. And I'm still marveling at that 14,000 soldiers being repulsed by a couple hundred peasants that weren't really armed with nothing but religious fervor and blessings from their priests. Talk about God's little army. Whoa. I'd like to know how they did that. I'd like to have seen that.
Can you imagine what a million Catholics could do if they actually had just one-tenth of their faith?
Wow.
We could fix it tonight. Tonight.
Yeah. I wish. What do you think of this story? Kathy, what did you think of this story?
Well, I loved it very much. And Doc's right. If everybody would just pray the rosary, Catholics and all Christians just pray the rosary, it could be fixed overnight.
Yep, Mary has said that many times, that praying the rosary can end wars, bring peace, change natural disasters. I mean, just about anything you can think of, she says, praying the rosary can make a difference. And people just don't get it. They don't, I don't know, they ought to know by history that that has been true, has been proven. We've seen examples of that.
I don't think we learn as good.
No, we don't.
We don't learn good.
It's just like the 8 German missionaries in Hiroshima that prayed the rosary every day faithfully. And when the bomb dropped just 7 blocks from where they lived, they were spared and never got any illness or any complications, and everyone else was vaporized. And they said it was because they prayed the rosary every day faithfully. That should wake some people up.
You'd think it would.
Yeah. Very impressive. I mean, and the doctors never could understand that.
I'll tell you what. I pray the rosary with my family every day, you know, and when we're, you know, if we're apart for whatever reason, we all pray it. But, you know, it has made a difference. I mean, I have trials and tribulations like everybody else, but there is a confidence that I've never had before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know things are going to work out just the way they're supposed to, and it's going to be okay. And I think a lot of that has to do with the rosary.
Or like in Champaign, Wisconsin, when the fire was blazing their direction and was going to wipe out all of Mary's 5 acres and all the Catholics gathered there, but they prayed the rosary all night long and the fire stopped, went around them and on into Chicago for the great Chicago fire. And yet that 5 acres was spotless. It was green and untouched, and the fire burned everything to the ground all around it, but left that 5 acres untouched because they prayed the rosary.
The outside fence was burnt, but the inside fence was not.
That's right. Pure white on the inside, black, just, you know, charred on the outside. And I've been there, and it's not a big wooden fence. It's just a little like picket fence, and it's amazing that it could keep any fire out. But it wasn't them that kept it out. It was the rosary and heaven that intervened. So there's just more and more examples like this, how this 14,000 got defeated in Genoa. It had to be the same kind of prayerful action. It had to be. We have story after story where rosary, just saying it, has had so much power. Just amazing. And I know we talked about the devil earlier. There was an exorcism, and the exorcist asked the devil, "What do you fear most?" And the devil said to the exorcist, "The rosary. I hate the rosary." So, and Mary has said the rosary is the weapon, is the way to defeat the devil. He hates it. He hates hearing it. And one of the reasons is because how many times are the names Jesus and Mary said in the rosary? Yeah, lots. And it's like a thump on the devil's head every time he hears Jesus, Mary, Mary, Jesus, Mary. All that repetitive wording just kills him. He can't stand it. So anyway, it's powerful. It's powerful. Well, that's the end of our little story. I've got a few minutes left if anyone has anything to add or ask or discuss. These older stories are always shorter because there's a lot less detail from way back in 1490. Not quite as much detail.
Yeah, 2 days later, Columbus would have discovered America.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's right.
Yeah, really.
Let's see. Next week, we'll be going. This is a very interesting story from Orbe, France. That's O-R-B-E-Y. Orbe, France. And the year is 1491. So the very next year in France. And she was known as Our Lady of the Three Ears. And I'll just leave it at that. You can wonder what that means, Our Lady of the Three Ears. And we will
cover that next week. You guys did it.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Donald.
We're talking about the rosary, the miracles of the rosary that I have witnessed.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard. It's hard for me. And today in Boston, I was hoping that Mike would bring this up because we did a show the other night in retaliation against what Satan was trying to do in Boston. And the church there, the archbishop, asked us to do for Catholics to do the rosary and to do divine, you know, Eucharistic adoration and to stand up for this country. And so that's what Mike and I have been doing every day. Mike, you remember that, right?
Oh, yeah. I just didn't have a way to stick it in there.
Well, tell us more if there's more.
Go ahead, Mike.
Everybody.
Yeah, he even introduced a special song, To Hell with the Devil. I love that title.
I like that.
Can I put it up there?
Do you have that song handy?
I just saw something. Let's see if I can find it.
Okay.
I'm trying to get better.
Are you singing, Donald?
And
you're supposed to give that voice a rest.
He couldn't help himself tonight.
Oh, I know.
He can't help himself any night.
Yep.
I had him muted in the studio, but he went in the studio and turned himself on.
Yeah, he'll do that.
Well, you can't keep a good man down.
Where my ears had come unplugged in the process of climbing the stairs, because when we're talking about the rosary, it's hard for me to be silent.
Oh yeah.
Every time.
To describe the rosary beads as a machine gun, you want to say something about that?
Well, that's exactly right. Just like M60.
Oh, my. So, Mike, are you still looking for that song?
I'm not looking for what?
Are you looking for that song, Hell with the Devil?
What do you know about that song there? You heard about what was going on in Boston?
Not fully.
Mike,
can you tell us what was going on in Boston?
I'm right here.
What's going on in Boston, Mike?
Well, Don already told you.
Well, couldn't quite hear it.
But there was a satanic mass and a lot of satanic activity in Boston at the I think it was at the Marriott Hotel hosted it. I just wonder what their stock's going to look like over the next few days.
Well,
hang on, I'm getting some ready.
Okay.
I was hoping you were.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, I just
you know,
don't understand how people can do that.
I don't either. Well, and they were offering satanic after-school clubs for children in elementary school. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I heard about that.
What the heck?
Wow.
I mean,
here's the title of that other song.
Okay.
That other song of you. Well, only I've got it from Queen.
Did you worship the devil?
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's just a sure ticket to hell for anyone. I mean, they need to read that part in my book, and they wouldn't be going to that mass.
Yeah, no clue.
No.
Jeez. They have no idea what they're in for.
Yeah.
I've seen many an atheist who saw a glimpse of hell and never were atheist after that.
No kidding, man.
Yeah. As one of Donald's favorite little stories is the man who was on death row and about to be executed, and he cursed the priest and everything, and then his friend who had been executed, who was with the Virgin Mary, was granted a vision of hell right before the execution, and all of a sudden he was confessing his sins and begging for mercy, and he did not want to go there. Yeah. Yeah.
That's one destination nobody wants to go to.
No. So, what's scary, I think, about hell is everyone thinks you get to congregate and have a party and this and that, but you know what? You're in total isolation. You not only don't see and not allowed to be around anybody, but you're tortured by the demons and you have no mercy from God or anybody. There's nobody there for you. You're totally alone.
There's no rest.
Tortured. It's horrible.
There's no rest.
Yeah.
No sleep.
No way
out. It's madness.
It's madness. That's right. And then after a while, you become one of them. You're just so full of the hatred and the evil that pretty soon you're torturing others as well. It's just horrible, horrible. So, yeah, I learned a lot researching that. But luckily we had people who were shown glimpses of it and allowed to come back to influence others. And I was glad their stories matched up because, you know, you could have heard all sorts of different stories. But no, very consistent. Again, very consistent. And not one of them stayed atheist ever.
John?
Yes.
John, I believe I sent that show that we did, that Mike and I did, to Hell with the Devil. I think I sent it to you, maybe. I thought I did, but
okay.
I will.
Well, do it again, just in case. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, send it again.
I'll do that.
All right.
All right.
Well, Mike, are you having any luck, or shall we go ahead and wrap things up?
I got a song for you. I got a song for you, John.
Okay.
What?
Thank you.
shut it down. I'm hunting for someone, y'all. He's a lion thieving rattlesnake, and he's broken every law. He's terrorized the lives of men, and he's under arrest because I've been sent with a warrant from the body of Christ.
Well, tell me why it's there, then.
Satan, bite the dust. One of you unclean spirits, I'm running you out of town. Depression, strife, disease, and fear, your posse's going down.
Oh, that's dinner for the dog, that man. We sent him over the box.
But I know who I am through Jesus Christ, so I talk to you demons like dogs. Satan, you coward, you molester of souls, I command you to appear. You're hiding from the presence of God, but I can feel your fear from here.
You rattle my keyboard long enough, you got something in your craw.
A praying church wants you to know.
No way.
Your kingdom's gonna fall.
There's gonna be trouble here tonight.
Cause I represent a whole new breed of Christian out today. And I'm authorized and deputized to blow you clean away. Got a message to deliver from one who's true and just. We'll spit in your eye, you father of lies, Satan. Bite the dust.
Boy, you're gonna take me on and my unholy herd.
Not only take you on, but take you out by the Spirit and the Word. One by one you'll drop like flies underfoot and in the ground, because greater is he who is in me than the snake I'm staring down. You demon of alcoholism, you'll be the first to go. There's deliverance from you through Jesus Christ, so hit the road. You spirit of infirmity, you ain't welcome here no more. We lay hands on the sick and they recover, so out the door. You demon of false religion, you prayed on minds so simple. I bind the spirit of your song, so now come on! Play that in your temple. Now Satan, you're next in line. I'm gonna hit you where it hurts. Cause I'm tired of you and my family. And I'm tired of you and my church. I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. I'm a Holy Ghost-filled man. And I'm tolling the bell of your eternal destruction across the land. Cause I represent a whole new breed of Christian of today. And I'm authorized and deputized to blow you clean away. I've got a weapon with two bullets that overcome all sin and crud. One bullet is called the word of my testimony, and the other one's called the blood. Satan, bite the dust. Bite the dust. Well, how do you feel about that, devil?
I'm a feeling mighty low.
Come on.
Find the button. Another one bites the dust. I knew I'd find a place to use that.
That's good. Well, it's about that time now where we're going to invite the whole world to join me in a Hail Mary that is said around the world. And in doing so,
We will have all our voices from around the world joined together in unison, rising up to heaven where they will hear us honoring Mary. And what a great thing to do as the whole world can join in and be a part of this all at once. So I will, and Mike, Kathy had to leave, so if you have that recording of her doing the Latin version, you can have that ready. If not, that's fine. So join with me now, all of you out there, as we pray a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I'm not going to get to it in time.
Okay. Well, God bless everyone who tuned in tonight. We appreciate your listening in. And I know it was a little shorter, but these older ones are a little shorter. And next week's will be rather short, too, as we go to Orbe, France, and hear that story. It's just such a joy to be able to share with you these gems from our history so that you can understand what's been going on with Mary's visits to our civilization. She and Jesus are part of that team to evangelize and to bring us to heaven. All right, so with that, I will say goodnight to you all, and thank you for being here. And thank you, Donald, for we can't hold a good man down.
No, you can't.
He had to come on. So we appreciate you putting your two cents in, as always. And so good night, everyone.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.